Jerry Bader, show 937. Apparently, I need to pay closer attention to horse racing. I don't follow horse racing. I don't watch the Kentucky Derby. I don't watch any of the three stools of the Triple Crown stool. So I don't know anything about California Chrome. Don't know what the horse's prospects would be for taking the Triple Crown after victories during the first two events. Nor did I know that horses wear nasal strips. I was raised on a farm. I wasn't raised around horses. I didn't know horses wore nasal strips. So this horse, instead of winning by a nose, could be scratched by a nose or a nasal strip. Who the heck knew this? California Chrome has worn nasal strips during victories in the first two events of the Thoroughbred Racing's Triple Crown, but he might have to compete at the Belmont Stakes without one, if he competes at all. Trainer Art Sherman said California Chrome, who won the Kentucky Derby and Preakness Stakes, might be held from the race if the three-year-old is not allowed to wear the strip across his nose that helps improve breathing. This sounds like a joke. I just had no idea. The New York State Gaming Commission, which regulates horse racing in the state, said the decision would be up to officials at the state's racing association. Neither the New York State Gaming Commission nor the stewards at the New York Racing Association have received a request to use nasal strips in the June 7 Belmont Stakes. If a request to use the nasal strips is made, the decision on whether to permit them or not will be fully evaluated and determined by the stewards. If California Chrome wins the Belmont Stakes, he'll be the first horse since Affirmed in 1978 to achieve the ultimate feat in thoroughbred racing. I do have a question, though. I just find it fascinating. I had no idea. But does it or does it not make sense to you that we remember the horse and not the jockey when they win the Triple Crown? Makes sense to you? I guess. But so then any old jockey could do it? It's all the horse? No. But yet, we don't remember the jockey. So, I mean, the guy riding has a little something to do with it then. Well, yeah, but we don't remember them. We remember the horse. I couldn't tell you who was riding Secretariat. Did Seattle Slew win the Triple Crown? Because they're saying Affirmed. Yeah, just do it that way. Triple Crown winners. I thought. All right. Yeah, I know. We just want the list. You'll have 1977. Oh, it's back-to-back years. 77 and 78. Then you have to go back to Secretariat. Before that, Citation in 1948. The 40s were a good year. Whirlaway in 41, Count Fleet in 43, Assault in 46, Citation. Now, I do know Eddie Arcaro. Okay, and I do know Steve Cawthon, who wrote Affirmed. I know those names. Ron Turcotte, I don't remember him, actually. But Cawthon I do know. Okay, so I actually would have known. Oh, really? I did not know that. He was disabled falling off a horse after winning with Secretariat. I did not know that. So there were 1, 2, 3, 4 in the 40s, 2 in the 70s, 3 in the 70s, excuse me, 3 in the 70s, Secretariat, Seattle Slew, and Affirmed. And none since. So this would be 36 years if California Chrome were to do it. Ah, Terry writes, we remember the horse. I can't do it. We remember the horse because it is the horse that is the athlete. If the horse rode the jockey, we surely would remember the job. Yeah, we would. Well, you don't think there's any athleticism to being a jockey? Yeah, there is. That's not as much as the horse. From horses to camels. Now, as you know, there has been lunacy on campus with commencement speakers either being forced to withdraw or canceled because of just completely capricious, arbitrary belief systems by radical professors and students alike on college campuses, radical liberals. More on that in a moment. But of all the absurdity on campus when it comes to political correctness, there is not a commencement speech cancellation anywhere that will top this. Jason, you're kind of familiar with the Twin Cities, aren't you? You spend time out there, or that neck of the woods. You familiar with the University of St. Thomas at St. Paul? You are. I never heard of it, I'm going to be honest, until this story. So, they had a campus group, a residence hall association, actually. Did you hear about this one? Was going to have a little fun. Last Wednesday, they were going to set up a petting zoo. Last Wednesday, a petting zoo with a camel. Get it? Hump day. Wednesday. Camel. You know, the Geico ad, the whole thing. Mike. What day is it? Mike. It was canceled because it's racist. I am not making this up. And I don't know if he wants to be made public, but a tip of the hat to someone in this company that sent this to me. So I'll just say, they know who they are. So I'll just say, thank you. I thought this was The Onion. This is from KSTP Television, 5 Eyewitness News. The animal was set to come Wednesday for a petting zoo put on by the Residence Hall Association, but the idea was met with backlash from students, and St. Thomas canceled the event. Instead of posting selfies with the camel on Instagram, some angry students protested on Facebooks and blogs. You're still wondering, what, where, what, why? Some students said it would have been a poor use of university's money. Others felt the event was a form of animal cruelty and disrespect to the animal, which is stupid. Others felt it was racially or religiously motivated, that it was offensive to Islam. Well, you know, camel jockey, stereotype, you know, all of that. Will you give me a break? Now, what is more absurd, that notion? And by the way, I didn't include it, but there's a long blog post by a young woman who thinks she's intelligent and articulate. It was just idiotic how that somehow Muslims would be offended by this. It's a camel. It's a camel. You know what? This is so stupid. I've spent all weekend since I've seen this trying to come up with an analogy, and it's so stupid, I can't. I mean, if you had a petting zoo with a cow, would it be offensive to farmers? Well, no, there's no stereotype. Well, yeah, actually there is, that all farmers are hicks. Would that be offensive? What if they would have had a pig? Okay, this is different but the same. Should Jewish students be upset? There, that's what you were thinking over there, huh? Well done, Jason. All right, there's that, and then there's this. Now, you may recall, we shared it here. Haverford College was one of the idiotic colleges that did an idiotic cancellation of former chancellor at University of California, Berkeley, Robert Bergonau. Robert Bergonau was supposed to speak at Haverford. Bergonau is a huge Berkeley lefty. He's a big, big liberal. But because they felt he didn't coddle Occupy Wall Street protesters, radical liberal faculty and students protested, and his speech was scrapped. I don't remember if he backed out. Yeah, he withdrew. Haverford withdrew. Last week, Bergonau withdrew from Haverford. Last week, Haverford President Daniel Weiss said in the statement that the former chancellor had withdrawn over the protest. Okay. Now, so they're all, you know, they chalk up another victory. Well, another commencement speaker, former president of Princeton University, William Bowen, was a speaker at Haverford's commencement over the weekend. And guess what he did? He ripped students and faculty for forcing Bergenau to pull out. He was very critical. He told the Wall Street Journal afterwards last night that many in the academic community had suggested he should address the controversy over Dr. Bergenau, who is well known in academia for having advocated for the rights of undocumented immigrants to get a college education. Bergenau's a big lefty, but because he held one position they didn't like, even he was persona non grata. He is a person of consequence, Mr. Bowen said. He said he told students, if you expect to agree with commencement speakers on everything, then who will you get to speak? Someone totally boring. He added, and now he said this during his commencement address. He called the students who had objected to Dr. Bergenau immature and arrogant. Michael Rushmore, graduating senior, who's among those who asked Dr. Bergenau to apologize for his behavior with the Occupy Wall Street crowd, said he was shocked Mr. Bowen would touch on the controversy, and that many in the audience were dismayed by the tone of the speech. Oh, you spoiled little brat, you. It never occurred that someone might actually call you out on this. The whole reason we protested is because we felt it would leave a bad mark on our commencement in college if Dr. Bergenau was awarded an honorary degree, Mr. Rushmore said. But Bowen left another black mark on our commencement. No, you did, you idiot. By being so close-minded in the first place, a guy to the left of Michael Moore, and he's not liberal enough for you, you idiot. And this guy, Dr. Bowen, or Mr. Bowen, Mr. Bowen, the adult in the room, addresses it, and, well, he shouldn't say bad things about us. My God, you can just see how the graduating generation today doesn't think they should ever be criticized. Ever. This came up, by the way. Employer, you know what this is? This is a completely separate issue. This is. It's a completely separate issue from the liberal intolerance on campus right now. You talk to employers and they'll tell you. 20-somethings today have been raised in an environment where they're never criticized. And you try to criticize them on the job and they don't get it. They are in ultra-high need of positive reinforcement because that's all they've ever gotten. It's okay, sweetie. It's all right. And that's the way they were raised. As such, when you criticize in the workplace, constructive or otherwise, they're like, what the hell? I have seen this. I have experienced this. What the hell? What? What? They're never to be corrected. They're never to be criticized. You know why? Because they aren't. They aren't throughout their lives. This kid can't believe somebody would use a venue given to them to call him out. A black mark on the commencement. You idiot. You're the black mark on your commencement. It's 9:50. I want to report something to you. No, it is... Well, I want to report 1.25. Now, you might think that's pound lost, right, Jason? If you've been following Proactive Weight Loss Solutions, it's actually how far I ran over the weekend. I'm trying to get up to 2 miles running, 1 mile walking every other day. And I'm back in shape where I can do that because I was on Proactive Weight Loss Solutions. Here's something else I want to report. I've been telling you, my wife is on the program as well now, and she's continuing to have success losing weight. Over the weekend, though, and I've been telling you this, because everybody's asking about the food, and what I've started doing with the nice weather on Sundays or Saturdays, I'm just cooking like for the whole week. I did turkey, mesquite smoked turkey. Yesterday. It's just spectacular. So yeah, you can eat enjoyable things. And if you do get bogged down, as just about everyone on the program, Jason had those moments, I've had those moments. My wife's having those moments. Dr. Litwin is there to help you out. It doesn't matter where you're listening. That feedback is there for you. So don't be intimidated. Well, that's just where you live. No, it can work for anybody. Call Dr. Litwin at 920-268-1386. Do it today, Dr. Jason Litwin, 920-268-1386.
The Jerry Bader Show.